You're listening to episode 31. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from boldturquoise.com and cultivatingthelovely.com, along with sometimes being on Periscope. I am really excited about today's episode, but before we jump in, I wanted to mention a couple of things. First and foremost, our awesome sponsor. This week, we are again sponsored by Jelly Telly. You know, kids today are consuming more media than they ever have before. I was startled by this statistic, but apparently on average, kids are spending more than 5 hours a day on media. Now, of course, I know we're all trying to not have that happen in our lives, but when they are using media, what are your kids watching? With the Jelly Telly app, they'll be able to stream their favorite Christian shows like VeggieTales, What's in the Bible, Friends and Heroes, and more all in one place, and you can feel really confident about what your kids are watching. Personally, our family's favorite across all of the different things in the Jelly Telly app is hands down What's in the Bible. Now, years ago, when they first started coming out with What's in the Bible, I would buy their DVDs because I just loved the information. They were funny, they were engaging. But now that it's on the app, I don't have to worry about DVDs getting scratched and all of that business, and we've got all of them at our fingertips. These shows have taught my kids and even myself so much about the Bible, and they're really funny. They've got such great humor that is both for adults and kids, I feel like, that it's something you can really share in as a whole family. So if you want to check it out and see What's in the Bible and all the other stuff, actually 300 plus hours of kids' Christian videos and movies, then you can begin a free week and get unlimited access. Also, make sure to check out the great resources on Jelly Telly Parents, including blogs from top Christian bloggers, movie reviews, family devotionals, free printable activities, parenting hacks, and more. All you have to do is visit jellytelly.com today and use the coupon code CULTIVATELOVELY, all capital letters, just for Cultivating the Lovely podcast listeners. And you can also get a 10-page Jesus coloring book download along with your first week of Jelly Telly free. So thank you, Jelly Telly, for offering that to all of our listeners. It's been so fun to get to play around with the app, and I hope all of you guys really enjoy it too. Another thing I want to mention that is coming up with Bold Turquoise and Cultivating the Lovely is that I am going to be releasing a brand new course just for homeschoolers called the Lovely Homeschool Course, Plan and Prep for a Bold and Gracious Year. So this course is going to be all about getting you ready for your year, helping you to hone things down, create your mission statement, and then really plan and prep your year so you can go into next year feeling confident and like you're really able to enjoy the experience with your kids. I'm aiming to get the course out by the end of May, so if you want the latest information on when the course is going to be available, then head over to boldturquoise.com/TLHC, and that's where you'll be able to sign up for a little email sign up that I will notify you as soon as it's on the market. So again, that's boldturquoise.com/TLHC. The course is going to include a Facebook group with live videos all summer long to help you get on track for next year. So I really look forward to connecting with a lot of you in that way. And also, if you just want to connect with me, I love hearing from you guys. I love getting emails and messages on Facebook and Instagram. So please don't be shy. You can connect with me across all social media at Bold Turquoise and find all of the other links at boldturquoise.com. In fact, you're probably going to want to head over to my Instagram at Bold Turquoise because today's guest, Katie Orr, is giving away a copy of her Everyday Peace Bible study. So make sure you go over there, like it, share it with your friends, and get in on the giveaway. Okay, let's jump into this episode with Katie Orr. It was so much fun recording with Katie, and we had a great conversation about how moms can do real life Bible study and how that looks compared to what we were raised thinking that it needed to look like and what the reality really is for moms. We also talk about Bible memory work, and she gives some amazing tips. I'm so excited to share this episode with you. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Hello, Katie.
Hey, Mackenzie, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am good. It's been a long, busy day, but all full of good things.
Yes, for those of you, obviously, you guys don't know when we're recording, but it's like after 10 o'clock East Coast time, 7 o'clock West Coast time. So it's always hard to navigate that. And it's right after the time change with daylight savings that everyone thinks needs to, you know, be done with. I don't know about you.
Yes.
What's the point of it anymore? Seriously.
For real.
But I have been so excited. All the navigating, trying to get us to find a time, all that aside, I have just been so excited to have you on the show because we've had this great emphasis going on lately of really encouraging women to be in the Word, to find out what it says for themselves, and to really arm themselves with that knowledge. And so you are one of those wonderful ladies to have on all about that. So for people who don't know who you are, could you just kind of introduce yourself and who you are and what you do and where you can be found online?
Yes. Well, I am Katie Orr, and I actually grew up on the West Coast in Southern California.
Okay.
And then the Lord brought me to Auburn, which is, you know, another, I mean, it's not a crazy story. It's pretty simple, but, you know, just never thought that I would be in Alabama, but I loved, I don't mean that negatively, just, you know, you just grow up in one place. You don't really think, you know, that much about other places.
So, anyway,
we visited Auburn. It was the only place that I applied to, and I got accepted by November of my senior year in high school. And anyway, I loved Auburn. It was just exactly where I needed to be. The Lord really shook up my heart while I was there. I grew up in Christian school and around the things of God, but everything, like the Christianity to me was a bunch of do's and don'ts. And then I got involved in Campus Crusade at Auburn, and they taught me the hows and the whys. And so that was just a huge period of growth, very transformational time for me. And then I later on got real involved with Campus Crusade, led half of Campus Crusade, and that is where my husband and I met. I was helping out with the ministry in Jacksonville, Florida, and he was a student there. So I was on staff, he was a student, and we ended up dating and getting married, and then we were on crew staff for about 6 years, and then we left staff in order for my husband to go into ministry and to become a pastor. So that's where we are, goodness, I don't know, decades later, and we are... And my husband is he's a pastor, but he just got his doctorate this week is what I was trying to say. And so that's huge. He just got his doctorate of ministry. And so he is Dr. Orr, and we have three kids, and they are 11, 9, and almost 7. So, and I homeschool, and whatever you think, I think a lot of people go, wow, you homeschool too? And I tell them, whatever you think homeschooling looks like, or what you think my homeschooling looks like, I guarantee you it does not. I outsource a lot. We try to focus on reading together, even if it's just once a week, but they just are independent learners and workers, and we do classical conversations, which I love, and I just try to keep it as simple as possible. But anyway, I'm sure that's a whole nother episode we could get into.
We'll have to have you back on again to talk about all of that, because I know a lot of the women who listen to the show just love, like, oh, they want to know now, what does she do and how does she do it? And I know I kind of feel the same way, like, we've simplified, and I'm working to that place where my kids can be more independent. Right now, there's so much one-on-one work that I'm like, okay, we can get through this. We can get to the stage where you're independent, but
Yes,
it's work, but it's a good thing. So,
yes.
Okay. So you write these awesome Focus 15 Bible studies, but it's been kind of it seems to me, looking from the outside in, that it's been kind of a journey with these studies. Like, could you tell us a little bit about how it really got started and how it's developed over time?
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey. And I think it really starts back at Auburn when I was involved with Campus Crusade. And like I said, I knew the do's and the don'ts. I knew that I was supposed to be in my Bible, and that's what a good Christian did. And, you know, you study your Bible, and it's just, you just did it. But I never knew how. And so, you know, it really goes back to my senior year in high school, where I knew I was going to Auburn, and it kind of scared me. I'm picking up from Southern California, moving across the country. And it really even though I was saved and I had a relationship with God, it was like this wake up call of, you know what? I could go there. I'm going to the secular school where I could just totally be whoever I wanted. Like I could drop the Christian label, you know, like if I really wanted to, but there was something deep down in me that said, no, that's not what you want. You know, you really are a believer. You really do love God. You know, this isn't just something you do because you go to a Christian school. And so it was kind of that moment of, I got to take this seriously. You know, I think that's part of becoming an adult too. You know, I was 17, almost 18. And I remember getting into my Ford Taurus station wagon with my, my little brother, actually, who was, I don't know, probably about 6 at the time. And I was watching him and we drove to the Christian bookstore, 'cause that's what you do. Right. And so I drove there and I remember I picked out this big black Bible, you know, like this real Bible. 'Cause I had a Bible, but it was like a hardbound like textbook that sat in my locker next to my science book, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't this personal thing. So I was so excited and I spent my own money to buy this big fancy Bible. And I came home and I sat on my bed and I opened it up and I had no idea what I was doing. It was very frustrating. And I was just, because I was so excited and I wanted to hear from God. And then it was like crickets, you know, and the Lord really used that. And so, you know, I basically went back to our daily bread is what I did, you know, but then over time it was like, I want more than this, you know, like I want more than just this 3 minute, one paragraph time in the word, if you can even call it that. So then the Lord just dropped me right in the middle of the Bible Belt, which I didn't even know existed. And, around girls who I was in Bible study with Campus Crusade, that they talked about Jesus, like they'd just have coffee with him. You know, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I know of a Jesus, but I don't know Jesus that way, you know? Yeah. And so it really, I saw their love for the word and that their Bibles were all marked up. And so through seeing others and their desire and their time in the word, and then through the equipping of Campus Crusade, I learned how to begin to study my Bible. And so then it was just, I loved it. I ate it up. I just would spend hours in the word, you know, as a college student. And then I was single on staff with Campus Crusade, and I just would spend lots of time with the Lord. And then I got married and I started having kids. And then it was like, I can't do this, you know? And so it was kind of this other crisis moment, you know, of, okay, I feel like I have every tool in my tool belt for studying the Bible. I knew a lot about studying the Bible, but then suddenly I didn't have the time to use all those tools. Yeah. And so that's really how the Focus 15 method was born. It, you know, wasn't called that at the time, but it was me looking at, okay, what is going to give me the most bang for my buck here? And what are these things that I know that I can do in a small amount of time? And just over time through discipling lots of women and trying it out myself, it just kind of morphed into what is now called the Focus 15 method.
And how many studies are there in this particular series you've been doing?
There are 4 that are published. It's Everyday Faith, Everyday Hope, Everyday, and then Everyday Peace. And then the 5th one is coming out May 1st, and that is Everyday Obedience.
Perfect. And that's right around the time of this podcast. So people should be able to pretty much get a hold of it, which is awesome.
Yes. Yeah. At this point, you know, Amazon should be shipping. They usually ship early unless there's some sort of delay in printing. But you can walk into your Lifeway store, you know, anywhere and get these studies. But they're all 4-week studies, and they're designed to be done in as little as 15 minutes a day. And so we try to give bonus, I try to give bonus content each day so that if you do have a day where you've got a little bit more time, then you can keep going. Mm-hmm. But I've just, out of my own personal experience and out of, and it's not just motherhood too. I know a lot of women that work full time and they, it's just a struggle to get into the word, especially in the morning when they want to, you know, before they get out the door. And so this is just something really that hopefully you can get done on your lunch break or, you know, in the morning before you go, or at the end of the day when you're winding down. You know, I don't think there's the only time to be in the word, you know.
Yeah. And I think that just knowing going into it, it's like, okay, at the max, this is going to take me 15 minutes. It just feels more manageable. I mean, I know that with the CTL community recently, we've been talking about use a timer to get something done. Like set it for 10 or 15 minutes and go clean your bathroom, or like see how much you can accomplish in 15 minutes. And you really can get a lot done. And so even though it feels like, oh, 15 minutes, like what am I really going to get out of the word in 15 minutes? If you're doing it consistently, and especially I think in the way that you've set up in these studies, because you're basically going over the same passage, but from a different perspective each day for a week.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We take a passage of scripture over about 5 days. Each of the studies are only 5 days. So that gives you some buffer room if you've got Sunday school material you're doing, or, you know, just life happens. And so you've got these two extra buffer days, especially if you're in a group. It gives you a little more flexibility. But yeah, so we, instead of trying to go through things as quickly as possible, like the study coming out soon, Everyday Obedience, it's only over 17 verses, Colossians 3, 1 through 17. And that's all we study. You know, there's an intro week, and then the next 3 weeks are, it's those 17 verses in about, you know, 5 to 6 verses a week. And we just go over it and over it and over it each time. It's like an onion that we're pulling back a different layer and seeing different things. Or I like to think of good Bible study as putting on different glasses, where you, like when you do history homework, or when I did history homework in high school, you know, this is probably not the best heart in which to study the Bible, but I was like, okay, let me get to the chase. Like, I just want to get the answers done and be done with my homework. And so I would go look at the question, and the question would be, in what year did Napoleon, whatever, you know? And so I would I would skip the actual reading of the chapter, and I would go and put my Napoleon glasses on. And that's all I was looking for, was Napoleon. And as soon as I would find Napoleon, I'd be like, okay, is there a date here? And then I would, you know, if I found a date, then I'd read the whole paragraph and make sure I'm getting the right answer. And so again, hopefully with a different heart, but I think that we can study the Bible the same way and just have the glasses of what is true about God here, or what is true about the Holy Spirit here? What is true about me because of what Jesus has done for me? And each day we put on a different set of glasses, and we do some other things too, besides just asking questions. But I think we can really, it's just a different approach, I think, than what some are used to. And it allows us to go deep in a small amount of time.
Yes. Yeah. We did a similar kind of format with Cultivating the Lovely about a year and a half ago. And we went through a couple of the epistles, and we just would go through them each week, but from a different perspective. And so it was even more verses than what you're doing. But I love just when you have this focused little set of verses, you can go so deep with it. And by the time you come out of those 4 weeks, it is written on your heart, because you've spent so much time with it. You just can't help but really have a grounding on what it means and what it says. And I love that when you walk away from Bible study and it's really stuck with you. I mean, we know that the word is living and active, and that's awesome. But to have just spent that kind of time with a portion of scripture where you can never really forget what that particular section said. You know, I just think it does a different kind of work in our hearts. And that's one of the things that I love about your studies. And I also love that you really emphasize, you talk about just even in your introduction and everything, that you're trying to work yourself out of a job. This doesn't have to be an overwhelming thing for women to learn the Bible. Like, you're teaching women, it's like another form of inductive study. It's a way of you being able to do it for yourself. And you recommend to not just jump to the commentaries and everything. It's like, we need to know what it says, and the Holy Spirit will tell us that. Like, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will reveal what the word means to us. You don't have to be depending on all these third-party resources. And I just love that you say that in your introduction. I just think women need to hear that more.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're scared sometimes, you know. I think there's a couple things. One, we're scared. We're scared we're going to interpret the Bible wrong. Or we're just intimidated to come to it because we feel like, oh, I've never taken Bible class, or I'm not a Bible teacher, or, you know, so, and I love what you said. Yes, the Holy Spirit is within us, and he is he will open God's word for us, you know, and like, it's God's will for us to be in his word. It's God's will for us to hear him from his word. And so if we're working towards that end and we're praying towards that end, he is going to answer that prayer, regardless of our background. And you think of half of the men that wrote, I don't know if half is right, probably all of them, none of them were trained, you know? I mean, Paul maybe had some training, but, you know, just thinking off the top of my head, I don't think many of these men that followed Jesus had any sort of biblical training. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit opened their eyes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it says in John, maybe, that I think it was like Peter and John were teaching, and the people were amazed because these were uneducated men.
Yes.
And
yes,
they knew so much. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Okay. Acts. And it was because the Holy Spirit was doing the speaking for them. And I think we need to acknowledge, like, God wants to speak to us. He wants to have that relationship with us. And so he's not going to just not show up if we are being diligent to get in the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love what you said also about these women that you met in the South and how it was like they just sat down to coffee with Jesus. And I think that so often gets overlooked, especially I think in today's culture, where like, oh man, things are getting crazy. Even from within the church, there's so much corruption and so much manipulation of the word. And we just need to like study and know what the word says. Mm-hmm. But we need to make sure that relational piece is still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And in fact, even though that was a frustrating time for me back when, you know, I started having kids and I suddenly was like, I mean, I was on staff with Campus Crusade at this point too, you know, so I'm like a minister and I can't get in the Bible, you know? And so I just I felt a lot of guilt or shame or, you know, just feeling like, gosh, I'm a hypocrite, you know?
Yeah.
But really, what it showed me was how dependent I was on that time being a certain way in a certain spot with a certain atmosphere. And then it would be, was like, I mean, and it was very regular and it was a priority, but it was like my date with God. And then I was like, okay, see you later. I'll see you tomorrow. You know?
Yeah.
And I didn't really take him with me throughout the rest of the day. I was not praying. I didn't have the same relationship that I do now where I'm like continually like, Lord, help me. Okay. What do I do here? You know, thank you, Lord. Or, you know, just kind of that constant conversation. Mm-hmm. And it was a deep, sweet, intimate relationship when I was sitting down in front of his word, but I was so dependent on it looking a certain way that it was a rough thing to go through, but it really was the best thing. And so if you're kind of, you know, if you're listening right now and you're starting to feel that, you know, you feel like, I'm just overloaded with just responsibilities and all that. I mean, we need to fight for it. It's always going to be a fight. Always.
Yeah, of course.
Even when we don't have a lot on our plate. In fact, that's when I'm the most lazy, when I don't have anything going on, you know, and then I'm not in the word. But wherever you are, to realize that it's going to be work, but it's going to be worth it. And it may not look, we've really got to let go of the expectations of what we think it should look like and what I should hear or how I should hear it. It's that really, I think it throws us for a loop and it discourages us and it keeps from going back to the word because we feel like we're doing it wrong. And that's the evil one. You know, he wants to keep us from it. So,
yeah. And I think that is possibly one of the biggest lies that the enemy uses, especially for women who grew up in the church, because we were so trained. Like, I went to Christian school for a little while too. And it's like, the term quiet time, you know, if I don't think that people that are not in the Christian culture like would even know what that is. But it's like one of those Christianese words that you have a very distinct picture in your mind of what that looks like. And when that gets thrown, it feels like, well, how am I supposed to hear from God if my kids are constantly interrupting or I never have time when I'm not, you know, dealing with someone or nursing a baby or, you know. I think that we really have to, like you were saying, get past those expectations and be okay with it looking different. That it's okay if our kids are around, you know, like it's not going to be all candles and worship music. Like, it's okay if we go sit in our front window while our kids are playing a game or doing whatever and we just take that time to spend it in the word.
Yeah. And it's a balance because I do crave that alone time. You know, sure. I crave that leave mommy alone I want to just, can I please just read my Bible, you know? But I really, as I've gotten older, I guess, and as I've seen, and I think when they were really, really, really little, where they probably wouldn't remember what was going on anyway, as an 18-month-old, you know, I needed that like quiet, like, don't touch me, you know, and I had to get up in order to do that, you know?
Yes.
And now that my kids are older and they can kind of understand things, like, it's more of an open door policy. And so they know whether I get up at 6 a.m., which is not often, or I get up at 10 a.m., you know, that I go to my couch and I've got my coffee and I read my Bible. And they know it's on my phone too, and that I'm working on my memory work. And, you know, because they'll come in and start talking to me, and I'll be like, okay, you know, mom's working. Can you wait a few minutes? I'm working on my memory work. How about you? Are you working on your, you know?
Like,
I don't do that all the time, but I think it's an automatic. It's just another way to train our kids that hopefully that they will have these memories. There's a lot of bad memories I hope they don't remember about mom.
Yeah.
I hope that they remember that, you know, most days she got up and she sat on her couch and, you know, that was her time with God every morning. Yeah. And so I think there's, that means we'll get interrupted, but man, I think that we invite them into something when we allow them to see us in the Word and fighting for it.
Yeah. And I think I remember, I think it was Sally Clarkson saying that when her kids got older, one of them mentioned, like, I always remember coming downstairs in the morning and seeing you in your Bible, Mom. Like, and even though she wasn't directly teaching them out of the Bible, she was being an example to them of what it would mean to actually be following the Lord and have this be a part of your daily life. And, you know, there were probably mornings that she missed, but his overall arching memory was that he would come down every morning and she was in the Word. Mm-hmm. And that always runs through my mind. Like, it's a good thing for them to see me doing this. It's okay. Yes, I want that time too, but it's okay. It's actually a good thing for them to see that example.
Yeah. And, you know, one side note, just kind of real practical note, especially for those of you that have real little ones or just, you know, even some of my older ones are kind of clingy, you know, it's like if I'm around, they want to be in my lap, they want to, you know, and I don't like to be touched. So I'm just like, you know, and so, but one thing that, it's changed since I'm writing because, and that's a whole nother, you know, but I'm in the Word a lot when I'm, especially when I'm in seasons of studying and writing, but when before that, and especially when my were really, really little. Like, I would try to get up before them, but it didn't always happen because you're just exhausted. But even then, it was like brain fog and just felt like, man, I'm not getting much of this. But what really got me through those really hard young kid years was having like this date with God. Like, it kind of echoes back to what I really just loved and enjoyed before I had kids. And so my husband often has Fridays off because Sunday is the work day, or I would go out on Saturdays and I would just go out for a couple hours and get that deeper digging in time. And then the rest of the days were more, you know, just doing the reading plan or working on some scripture memory, you know. So I think we've got to look at it as it doesn't have to look the same every day. And it's okay to have a really deep time once a week or even once a month that's going to carry you through just a difficult season. And there will be other days, other seasons where you can have an hour quiet time every day, you know? But not if you've got kids in the house all the time. That's just it's just difficult. So
For anyone who's ever seen my Periscope shows, they will know just how difficult it is to do anything without children.
They're
in the house. It's just the way it is. I sympathize with that guy who was on the BBC. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, that
video.
Was awesome. Yes. Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, that's my life.
Yes.
Yes,
that was awesome.
Anyway, total side note.
That's
but as long as we're
so
kind of oh, I know, right? So many times. Just happened this afternoon. So as long as we're talking about resources, I do want to mention this kind of new one. You've kind of had it for a while, but it's kind of been reinvented recently, which I think is a really great thing, especially if women are wanting to get the Word kind of filtered throughout the day, is your podcast, the Focus 15 podcast. Would you talk about that a little bit more for a minute?
Yes. Well, it has always been 15. It's been around for 3 or 4 years, but I took a very long, like 1 year stint in there, and just recently picked it back up. And so they're all 15-minute episodes. Kind of really want them to be something that you can listen to on, you know, just a quick drive to work or driving on an errand or something like that, and be able to listen from top to bottom. And we, with this new season, I brought my husband in on this. And so we just kind of chat back and forth about different things. And each episode is answering a different question. So the last one we just recorded that should be dropping soon is, how many verses should I study at one time? Or what's the big picture of the Bible? And what should my quiet time look like? Or how long should my quiet time be? You know, all these kind of questions that we get a lot. Ministry, yeah. And in my online ministry, discipleship, and just my own personal discipleship ministry. But then we also have some within the season kind of peppered in there, like, what do I need to know about the book of Matthew or the Gospel of Matthew? What do I need to know about the Gospel of Luke, etc.? So our plan is to go through the whole Bible with that in hopes that when you go to study a book of the Bible, that you can come to that podcast. And we've got lots of links for different commentaries and different resources for each book of the Bible. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And it's just a great way to kind of be keeping it in the forefront of your mind. Like, you might have been able to do your Bible study in the morning, or you might not have even been able to do it, but then you can pop this on when you're making dinner or something, and just have that where you can kind of be thinking about the word and pondering it and kind of investing more into that relationship like we were talking about.
Yeah.
I love those kinds of resources.
Well, I loved what you were talking about when you went through, you said you went through, was it the epistles? And you
went
were going
through a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were going through them over and over and over again. And I mean, while I do think we can get stuck in our ruts, Ruth and Ephesians, you know, or whatever it is. Like, and I love Ephesians. I mean, that's like one of my, both of those are great. And that it's good to challenge ourselves and kind of get out and study a different book that we haven't yet. I think there is something about this going deep in one place, and it really sticks to your bones, I think is the term you used. And really, like, scripture memory has been something in the last couple of years that, I don't know, maybe last 5 years, that really I had not tried much at all, or I tried unsuccessfully. And I have seen that as being so fruitful. And I think in a lot of ways, scripture memory can be a lot easier than actually, like, opening, you know, with little ones around, with, like, just lots of stuff going on. It can be a little bit easier than having your Bible pencils and digging in a certain way. And I really think it's like the super secret ninja trick to Bible study, because it, when it sticks with you, you see it everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And you start to see the themes of realizing that the Bible is not just a bunch of random stories put together. It is all one big story, and they're interwoven in ways that we don't see at first glance. But when we get into it, it's just like amazing when you see the Old Testament and the New Testament all kind of come together, and the different writers saying the same thing, and you're like, oh, okay, I get this, you know? And so I think there is something there, even with just chapter and just trying to memorize it all year, you know, like, I've been working on the Sermon on the Mount, and that's wow. I mean, how many times have I read the Sermon on the Mount? But now it's only been through memorizing it that I'm like, whoa, I see this everywhere. Yeah. And I have not done any sort of underlining or coloring or anything in the book. It's just been the scripture memory.
Yeah. Well, and we do something with Cultivating the Lovely that's Bible writing as well, like just handwriting a verse every day, because even that act of putting it down on paper, just it gets different senses involved. And I think it's kind of that same way with memory work. But I don't remember every single verse that I memorized when I was in, you know, Christian junior high, but you have a general idea of what those verses said and where they kind of were. And that's so, it just makes you feel like you have a better grasp on things, and you can always go back and kind of find, like, I know this is somewhere, you know, because you've read it in such a deep way and you've memorized it. So what are some of the resources that have you, like this year, you said you just picked the Sermon on the Mount. Do you use, I know there's like apps and like all kinds of crazy stuff. Do you do any of that, or do you
I use a scripture typer app, which is worth every penny. I think it was like a $10 app. And so now I bought it 4 or 5 years ago. So it might be different. There's a free version, but I use the pro.
It's so great because it just kind of files everything away for you. And then once you've mastered it, and you can type it in by just typing the first letter of each word. And so it comes up and you type it in and then it tells you, good, you got it. And then it'll make you review it tomorrow. And if you got it, more than 90% that day, then it'll bump you to 2 days, and then it'll bump you to once a week, and then it'll bump you to once every 2 weeks or whatever it is. I don't have to think about it. Like, they just do it for me. And so when there's something I haven't reviewed in 6 months, it comes up automatically. Because, and I learned this the hard way. It was back on like when everybody was talking on Twitter, like 4 or 5 years ago. And there was a group of, I wanted to memorize Philippians, and I knew I would not do it on my own. I just would peter out after verse 5, And so I thought, I'm going to put this out there and see if anybody wants to do it. And there was about 20 of us that did it. And I don't think all of us made it all the way through. But it was just such a cool thing. And I memorized it and I videotaped it and everything. It was like I was immersed in Philippians for a good 6 months. But then I didn't review it. Mm-hmm. And I lost a lot of it because I wasn't keeping up with it. I just didn't understand the importance of doing that. And there's algorithms out there that say, people that have studied brain stuff that says, once you know it, then you need to review it a certain amount of times. I don't know. I just love that I don't have to think about it. I don't have to research it. The app just tells me what to do. Yeah. And some days I have 14 verses to just quickly go through. Sometimes I have 4, sometimes I have none. But that is helpful. The other thing that is super duper helpful is songs. And we do that with classical conversations. And so I'll do the memory work along with my kids. But desiringgod.org has, actually, it's called Fighter Verses. And it is incredible. And it has the whole Sermon of the Mount sent to music. Yes. And so it's like accelerant. So I just spent, several weeks just listening to the, I actually started backwards. I started with Matthew 6, because there was a challenge. Hide His Word Challenge is kind of what that Philippians thing turned into at donotdepart.com. And they have Hide His Word challenges still. They've been doing that for 4 or 5 years now. And so I jumped in with them in Matthew 6, and then I found the Fighter Verses. And so I just would listen to it in the shower, in the car, and you pick it up just by, think of how many, okay, this is going to date me, but if somebody just says, all right, stop, collaborate, and listen. I'm going to go on for another 5 minutes there, and I can tell you just about every word of Ice Ice Baby, right? Because the power of the rhythm and the song. And even if I haven't thought about that song in a year, it is still embedded. Those words are embedded. The silliness is embedded in my head, and we can do the same thing through the power of that music. Totally. And so,
well, it's why we teach our kids the alphabet with a song, it just sticks with you. I know I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, like, way too many times than any one person should be. But that's how I know, the 12 tribes of Israel and, who all of Jacob's sons were and everything, because they have it in song form. And, and I don't know if you haven't checked out this musical, show it to your kids, because it really does stick to the Bible. Like, if you want to actually know these crazy dreams that Pharaoh had and everything, it really does stick to what it is, which is pretty impressive, I think, for a Broadway show. But I love that I still to this day could tell you, the 12 tribes of Israel are da da da, because I know the song. It just makes such a difference, I think. And I love that you do that and that there's this great resource for normal verses. I know I've used with my kids a little bit the Seeds Family Worship. I don't know if you've done that at all, but they're decent to listen to songs too. They're not just like all kidding.
Yeah, we have 4 or 5 of the Seeds
which
verses.
Is nice.
My kids love listening to it. The biggest thing that I don't like about them is that they don't have the verses within the song a lot of times. But I still think it's so good. Yeah. I love that my kids will just start busting out, a Seeds song. But the the memory, the fighter versus, mm-hmm. they are specifically, there's a 5-year cycle that they do in their church, and they've wow. just made these resources available for everybody else. And so there's things where it's just awesome. Kind of more key verses, but then they have an extended set, and it's usually, you know, like the Sermon on the Mount for the whole year. That's what the whole church is, mm-hmm. you know, anybody that wants to do it. And so they have a CD that you can buy on Amazon, or you can get the app. There's an app for like $4 and you can get all of those songs on there. And that's how I've been memorizing. I couldn't, I mean, I probably could, but it would take a lot more effort without the songs.
Yeah. So. And I like what you're saying too about Bible memory, and that I think a lot of people, when they think about memorizing verses, it's just random, not random, like they pick out certain verses, but it's just a verse or two here, a verse or two there. But when you're actually memorizing chunks of scripture, you are getting yes. the full context of what the verses actually mean. And that, I think, is so important. And it's, I think, a habit that a lot of people fall into, is just picking out verses and kind of using yeah. them however they want to. But if you're memorizing it within context, then it's harder to just make it say whatever you want it to mm-hmm. say. You know, you can actually know what it actually means, yeah. which is so important.
Well, Philippians is great. There's so many examples of that in Philippians. But in Philippians 4, is it 21, that mm-hmm. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, or whatever your version is, you know, that's right after he's just said, I know how it is to be hungry. I know how, okay, I'm messing up my memory here, but I know what it is to abound, and I know what it, you know, he's saying, yeah. I've experienced it all. I've been the high, I've been low, I've had plenty, I've been in need. And yeah. you know what? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's a contentment verse. It's not an exercise yeah. verse, you know? Like,
yes.
it's saying that regardless of how crappy my life is right now, I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Yes.
And no matter how awesome my life is, and I still don't feel like it's enough, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's what mm-hmm. he's saying. And yes. if we don't know the meat, we don't understand where the meat is coming from, that it's this big sandwich, you know, and we yes. miss what it's sandwiched in, then we totally, totally miss the boat a lot of times. So
yeah. And it's when you just focus on those few verses here and there that you leave yourself susceptible to people who elaborate on these verses and turn them into something else. If you aren't mm-hmm. armed with the rest of the knowledge around it, how will you not be deceived along with them? Like, it's so important right. to know that context.
Yeah.
So I like what you're saying about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reality is none of us will ever know all of the word.
Yeah.
But I think that as we get to know something so intimately, that there's usually the same themes everywhere else in scripture as well. And so mm-hmm. that we can, and then when I think we also need to be in a great habit of checking everything, you know, is it
yes.
Timothy 2:2, study, it's the King James from Awanas, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's for everybody.
Yeah.
That we should all be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And there's going to be things that we may not know. And there's things still all the time that happen. I'm like, I'm not so sure about that. I yeah. need to go to the Bible and figure that out for myself. I need yep. to check that out with people that I trust and talk to my pastor, who happens to be my husband, you know, yeah. like, and we all can do that regardless of our background, regardless of whether or not we've taken any sort of Bible classes. In fact, those of you who have not taken any Bible classes, which includes me, you know, like besides training mm-hmm. for ministry, I've never been to seminary. And yeah. so those of us who have not been to seminary, we need to be even more cautious, not to just listen to everything that comes our way. Every Instagram yeah. meme we see, especially yes. not TV preachers, you know, we've got yeah. to pay attention and go to the word ourselves and make sure that it checks.
Yes, absolutely.
With what we see and teachers we trust.
Yep. And because we see teachers falling all over the country, and mm-hmm. they aren't just falling like randomly. They didn't go from being, you know, sold out for Christ one day and then totally off the boat the next. There is a slow progression that happens there. And if you're not keeping in check what you believe and what, you know, reading your own Bible, if you're just putting all your stock in what they're telling you, then you can be drugged down that same path with them. Like, yeah. You need to make sure that you see the red flags popping up before it's too late and the ship is sinking.
Right. Absolutely. Yep.
Well, that was a really fun discussion. I want to move on to a totally different topic that, well, kind of. So you've got a lot going on. You homeschool and you're doing all of your stuff with these Bible studies and everything. So can you talk a little bit and give, like, because I know a lot of people think like, oh, you're doing everything, like a little bit of reality check about what life actually looks like and how you balance things and maybe not always balance things.
Yes. I think balance is an illusion.
Yes.
I mean, really, I think that there's just, life is seasonal, and I'm in the middle of a busy season. So, you know, I think that the evil one likes to get in my head and go, oh, you know, you're doing this and not doing that or whatever. But I think the things that kind of help me is that I want to make sure, one, am I walking with the Lord? You know, am I still connected with him? Is time with him a priority? Am I hearing from him? You know, that's kind of checkpoint one. Mm-hmm. Two is my husband taken care of, you know, and that looks different for everybody. And we have talked it to death. Like, what do you need from me? I mean, is it laundry? Is it cooking? Whatever. It's none of those things, you know? And so we have it down. I know that what he needs from me, and is he getting that from me? And again, that's going to be different for each of us. I have very good friends that husbands really need the house clean. Mine does not. So if you were to come over to my house right now, you would see that it's getting better as the kids get older, but you know, toilets are dirty. There's clothes on the ground. There's shoes everywhere. Dishes, I think, got done tonight. I don't know. I'm trying to delegate that out to my 11-year-old, and he's doing pretty well. You know, I cannot tell you the last time I cooked a meal.
There you go.
I really can't. It's been at least 3 months, you know. Now, I'm not kidding. You know, that is just what works for us. And I know there's some people that might scoff at that and go, well, that's your job, as you know, but that's not my job for our family, you know? And so I think we really have to seek out. And I have to struggle with that, not looking at other people who say that my job as a woman is X, Y, and Z. And if my husband's a better cook than I am, you know?
Yeah.
And so now, do I go grocery shopping? Yes. You know, like, it just works out. I kind of buy it and I'm like, okay, we got chicken or shrimp or whatever. And there's some weeks where it's like, I have no idea what to do this week because I've just got deadlines, you know? Yeah. And he is in it. He is fully 100% in it. And so that's my second, I guess, I moved out of that, but am I walking with the Lord? Is my husband okay? Are my kids okay? You know, and are there any red flags there? And so, you know, I think that I definitely live a unique life in just the way that I'm built to be. I do a lot, but it's seasonal. There's definite times where I don't have a lot going on and it's more rest. I try to rest a lot too. Like lately I've been sleeping in a lot because I've just been noticing that I've been tired and I need to get that extra sleep. And if that means that we do a little less with homeschool, then that's what, in fact, we didn't homeschool at all last week. Cause I knew with all that was going on and we were already doing well on our days, you know, it was just like, we're just going to take the week off because I think I'll go insane if I try to do all this. And so just giving ourselves the freedom to not keep up with everybody else and just walk the path that God has set in front of us. And again, we have talked it and prayed it to death. Am I supposed to write? Am I supposed to speak? Am I supposed to travel? And I go back and forth because I don't want to miss out on anything with my kids and I don't want to be disobedient. But every time God keeps saying go, you know, and my husband is pushing me out the door.
That's awesome.
That's just what works for us. It's not going to be for everybody. So I don't know if that gave you the reality check or not, but my house is definitely messy. I have this feeling of like it's spring and I need to be spring cleaning, but it's like, that's not for now. You know what? And if house is in a total disarray and I'm being obedient, then that's okay. I would rather, you know, I think, I'm not trying to give that as an excuse for everybody else to say, I don't have to declutter my house now because
But if that's what you need and that's what your family needs, then you do it. That's your obedience, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think it's about being discerning, like you're saying, about where you're at and what you're supposed to be doing. And there's definitely times when certain things need to be focused on more than others. And there's times when it's gotten crazy and there's been projects, and then you have to like, okay, stop this day. We're going to, you know, just totally get everything back in order. You mm-hmm. know, you just, there's that flux of what's going on, I think, for sure. And it's so nice that as a homeschooler, you have that opportunity to say, okay, right now we've done well at homeschooling, so we're going to pause that and have grace there so that these other things can happen. And it doesn't have to become overly stressful because you're trying to do everything at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, something I'm still kind of processing this, and I was talking to a friend recently that I think that this pursuit of balance and this pursuit of margins and pursuit of, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, which I do think is good, because I think we can get out of balance in a very bad way. And I think we can put other things before our family or before our time with the Lord. But I still think, though, that we are called to work. We should go to bed tired each night, mm-hmm. you know? And I think there's a lot of people out there that may have their house in order and they may have all their boxes checked, but they're not serving in the church and they're not mm-hmm. reaching out to their neighbor. They're not fulfilling the callings of God on their life besides mm-hmm. maybe just motherhood, you know? And I think that as moms, it's so important. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay the calling of mother. It is a big C calling. It is like up there, you know, it's walk with God, serve your husband, love your kids, you know, but I don't think always that those things have to exclude other callings. And sometimes mm-hmm. we as moms, I see it a lot. Like, I'm just going to stay in my safe little house and keep my safe little home and keep it nice and the way I need it, to the exclusion of doing the other things that we are called, that every believer is called to do, like be a part of a local church, serve in that local church. Now, it's going to look different when you're in the throes of motherhood than when you're an empty nester. But that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that just because we're busy and just because we're tired means that we are exempt from serving and being a part of evangelism and discipling those that are younger than us. And, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it can look so many different ways, and there's so many different opportunities now, especially even with the online forums and everything, and the ways that you're able to serve and help other people and reach out to people. And I think that like you're saying, like, everyone has a different season, and when you're in that really thick of it season with littles, and you know, it's gonna look different than it will when your kids are a little bit older, but there's still something that you can be doing.
Yeah,
and some way that you can feel like you're pouring out in other ways than just to your kids. And I think it was both Sally Clarkson and Trisha Goyer who were both talking about how it's been a really good thing also for her kids. Again, we're talking about our kids mm-hmm. observing us, but for their kids to see them serving mm-hmm. other people and investing in other people, because how else are our kids going to learn to not be completely self-centered if they don't see us serving other people as well? That's not saying that we're supposed to be neglectful to them, but it's okay for us to be helping other people and for us to be taking care mm-hmm. of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's super important. Well, I think that's a really good note to wrap things up on. That was really good. So I do have a few questions though, before we completely wrap up, that I ask all of my first time guests. So are you ready?
I'm ready. I think
they're just like easy answers. Yeah. Okay. So candles or essential oil diffuser?
Oh goodness. I like both. That's a cop-out answer.
It's okay. Some people, they really can't decide. So cloth napkins or paper?
Oh my gosh, paper. Who wants more laundry?
Okay. I know. City or country?
City.
Okay. Paper or digital?
Digital. Well, it depends on what it is. I'm so bad. Like, favorites are my worst. Like, I have a hard time picking favorites because I feel like I need to explain myself everything. So
that's fine. Most people do.
You're pushing my limits here. No.
Well, I've had so many guests who, like, half of the interview is their explanation of why they chose what they chose on these questions.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Shopping online or in store?
Mm. So I like both. It depends on what it is. Okay. If I need to just get out, then yeah, I like being in the store, but that doesn't happen very often. Yeah. I like getting stuff done. So I like the online world too. I can just get on there and get it done.
Yes. And get it here in 2 days if you have Amazon Prime.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, it's 4 o'clock or whatever time you're making dinner, or I guess in your case, I don't know. You're needing a mental break in your day. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Audiobook or podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, over music probably. Yeah.
What are some of your
audiobooks?
Oh yeah. What's a good one you're listening to lately?
Right now I'm listening to the Wheel of Time series that a friend of mine told me about. I'd never heard of it before. So I'm listening to book one, Eye of the World. It's really good. It's kind of sci-fi, not sci-fi, but it's very good. Very well written. I just finished Anna Karenina.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't even know why. I just felt like I'm an adult. I need to read it.
Right.
It was good. It was good. I'm still processing it because I knew nothing about it going in. But I mean, it's just kind of like you know, you got to read Tolstoy at some point. So,
yeah. I know. I'm reading a biography on Queen Victoria called We Two. It's about her and Prince Albert. And I think it's been a little bit deceptive because it's an ebook. And so you just figure like, oh, I'll read this biography. But I've been reading forever. And I'm like 20% done. I have to keep rechecking it out from the library. I'm like, when does this book end? I mean, it's good, but holy cow, it's long.
I just listened to The Hiding Place too in January. I'm looking back through my list. And that was like life changing.
So
like
good.
I need to listen to it again. It was so good. I listened to The Giver, The Giver Quartet.
Oh,
all of them. I could not stop listening. They were so good. I'd never heard of The Giver till like 2 years ago. Is that like so bad?
I haven't read it, so
it's so good.
I will have to put it on my list for sure. Okay, chocolate, milk or dark?
Milk.
Okay, sports or no sports?
Like me playing them or watching them?
However you want to interpret the question.
Sports. I love me some Auburn football. I like college football.
Yeah. Okay. Periscope or any other live broadcasting, like Facebook Live or whatever, would you rather broadcast or watch or just not be involved with it at all?
Oh, probably broadcast because I don't know. I just have a hard time stopping to, like, I'm such a multitasker. Yeah. And so sitting to sit and watch somebody, I can't do anything else. That's why I like audiobooks. Yeah. Because I can listen to it and play Candy Crush at the same time.
Yes. There you go.
Or take shower or, you know, be in the car or whatever. So.
Yeah. Okay. What is your favorite movie? If you had to pick one.
Oh, goodness. I don't know. Growing up, it was Annie.
Okay.
And, oh, goodness, that's so hard. Probably Sound of Music. I know. Still. Sound of Music.
Okay. Yeah. I think that one's been picked a couple times. Okay. Last question. If you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, where 0 is totally not crunchy and 10 is like sitting by the campfire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks singing Kumbaya, where would you be on the crunchiness spectrum?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I think in my ideal world, I'm like a 6 or a 7. And in my actual world, I'm probably a 2 or a 3.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That is a very good, honest answer. Yes. Because the funniest thing about this question is I have all kinds of different guests on. I mean, really varying ranges. And almost everyone answers a 6 or a 7. And it's so funny that we all have this idea of how crunchy we are. And we all think we're as crunchy as the next person.
No, I mean, looking back, it's funny because I never would have considered myself crunchy. But looking back, in fact, it was about 2 years ago that this girl that I was getting to know in town, who's super crunchy, she added me to this Bluegrass Crunch Facebook thing. And I was like, she added me to this? Like, she thinks I'm crunchy? And then I looked back and I was like, I mean, burst. I had 2 of my boys at home. I couldn't have Anna at home because we lived in Georgia and it was illegal. You know, I breastfed. Okay. I made my baby food. You know, like looking back, I'm like, I guess I am pretty crunchy. But so like ideally, all that. I would love to eat organic. And oh my gosh, I've tried paleo. I've done like just, I know that's not always just crunchy, but goodness gracious. Yeah. But and then the reality, I'm like, I hate doing laundry. So no, we use disposable diapers. Sorry. You know?
Yeah. You gotta take the certain things work for you and not the others. I know. Yeah. I feel like I've been kind of all over the crunchiness spectrum depending on where our life is at. But
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with me. It was a lot of fun and like a really good deep episode. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun and I'm looking forward to listening to it. I always like listening to it on the other end. And yeah. So see how many stupid things I said.
Oh, trust me. After like 28 episodes or whatever, I'm like, there's a lot of stupidity that's been out there on my part.
This is real.
That's
it's
the magic
real.
Of editing.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you. And we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right, ladies, that's it for this week. Thank you again so much for joining me. And thank you for telling all of your friends. We are growing every single week. And it's so exciting to see how many of you are just excited about the podcast and what we have to offer. We are right in the thick of planning next season out. And I am so excited to get it up and running next fall. We still have a few weeks left, though, of this year's season. So be listening for more to come. But if you want to just do something really quick to really help support the podcast, you can head over to iTunes and leave just a really quick rating and review. This makes such a difference in new people being able to find the show and for us to even be able to grow it more and offer even more opportunities like the Lovely Homeschool course. So if you just run over there really quickly, search for Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast, and click on the ratings and reviews tab. You can even do it from your phone. Just leave a quick one sentence thing and click the number of stars that you want to give it. It makes such a difference. And thank you so much to all of you who have done it. All right, one last thank you to Jelly Telly, who's been an awesome sponsor for the past 4 episodes. And until next time, ladies, go be bold and gracious.